This is the Con Guy Show. We are your home for news, opinions, and interviews from the world of Comic-Cons and fandoms. Your ultimate insiders for all things con! Welcome back to the Con Guy Show. This is our wrap-up of WonderCon 2024. Thank you guys for joining us. I have a couple special guests with us. Cheeseman will be joining us in a little bit. He is, you know, he's a full-time video editor, director guy, and so he has a great big project, which is keeping him all tied up. So anyways, welcome to the Con Guy Show. My name is Jim here at theconguy.com. We have the lovely Angela with us. Please introduce yourself, Angela, for those who haven't seen you in a while.
You did it. You said the lovely Angela. I'll take that any day. No, thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me on. I'm Angela Relucio. I am an actor and producer. Mostly I do television, but I am a full-time nerd, so I'm happy to be here and chat with you guys.
This next fellow is a good friend of mine who this was his very, very, very first comic book convention, and that's why we brought him on today, because let's just say he had the time of his life. Who am I talking about? You.
That's Hi you. There. I'm Brian. I was on the Fantastic Four trailer promo image discussion.
Oh, you've been on before.
Yeah. Cool trailer. That's right. In February. It's good to be back.
This is my buddy Brian Benvenuti. He's an actor and a writer. And this, he does not consider himself nerdy enough to go to Comic-Con, but I want everybody to take a look at the shirt he's wearing.
Homemade.
It's well, I want everybody to take a look at that and take a look at this.
Okay.
So this is what Brian looked like this past weekend at WonderCon. Brian kind of got into the spirit, took off on a Sunday morning, he went to church. It was Easter Sunday, so he went to church. He's a good guy. And then he ran by Walmart and he made him
Walmart.
Tell us what this is, Brian.
I dressed as Multiple Man, aka Jamie Madrox from the X-Men Marvel Comics. He is a very underrated character with the ability to make duplicates of himself. That is one of the comics right there.
Wait, can I get
Yeah, he can make duplicates of himself, and in each duplicate has a different aspect of his personality. He can also send them out to learn new skills. He can then absorb them and the knowledge back into himself. So
I'm going to show this.
Really cool. He's
This is Brian's comic, X-Factor, that he is letting me borrow so I can find out more about these characters. That looks kind of cool.
That is from 2006.
Yeah.
Wow. So you just whipped out a sewing machine and started sewing in your hotel room, huh?
Yes, that's exactly what I did. No, I went to Walmart. I got some fabric and a shirt and some rubber cement, and I had to keep applying rubber cement throughout the day because it does not stick very well. Don't buy Elmer's. So I love their craft glue for school.
But I do. Okay, we have a couple of comments. I just want to say hello to a couple of people real quick. Of course, Mr. Andy Harrow. Andy, it is awesome to see you. Angela has responded back as well. Andy, it was so awesome to hang with you this weekend. I just want to let you know, Andy, we got a couple pictures here. You're in them. So I'm going to be sharing some photographs. And of course, Ben is not with us today. Ben is at working today, but Bloodgood. We always got to say hello to Cat Bloodgood. That's awesome. And then we have somebody, his name, I don't know, this is not his name, One Track Mind. Is there any way to get a better time for a panel? My group was put at 9 p.m. One Track Mind, I feel your pain. We, like 2 years ago, we had a big Power Rangers panel. It was on Friday, I think at 5, which is right smack in the middle of Friday rush hour. It was hard for anybody to get to our panel. So I understand. But hey, One Track Mind, stick with us. We're going to be talking. Tell us what the name of your panel was. I would love to know what your panel was. So, all right. So, Angela, I'm going to go to you first. And Angela goes, please don't ask me any hard questions. Angela, we have been, no, you and I, listen, this is not hard for you at all. You and I we're kind of friends. We met up here in LA a little bit, but we're kind of con friends. We meet at the conventions. We hang out at the conventions. We go to LobbyCon, which is a lot of fun. I got some pictures of LobbyCon. I just want to know, what was your experience like, your overall impression of this year's WonderCon, WonderCon 2024?
Well, I thought the rain was going to scare everyone away. And in the morning, like Saturday morning, it kind of looked like it did. But it the exhibit hall filled up pretty fast. The panels were well attended. I have to say that I don't think there was much of a line for many of the panels last year. It was pretty packed, if you remember. Yep. I had a great time. I think that the excitement is there. You know, it did seem a little bit small in terms of the number of exhibitors and vendors to you. A little bit, yeah. Yeah, but you know what? There's so much creativity on the floor that it just never ceases to amaze me. Like, I'm always looking and touching and wanting to buy everything. And then the panels they had a really good lineup. In fact, the first panel I went to of the day on Saturday was really, really strong. And I said, this is probably one of the better panels I've gone to in WonderCon history for me. Yeah. So.
Not to put you on the spot, I remember you telling me that. Do you remember what panel it was? Because you went to a bunch.
Yeah, it was called Inside the Writer's Room.
Nice.
Yeah, and it was just a great discussion overall. It was the perfect way to start off my Saturday.
Very cool. All right, Brian. Okay, so I apologize, guys. Give me one second. I'm having to email. Cheeseman doesn't have the link to the show, so I got to get that over to him.
Okay, get that over to me. You know, so while you're doing that, Jim and I met years ago, and Luke, years ago, because we kept running into each other at conventions. Never mind the fact that we lived like down the block from each other for many years and never once ran into each other. Yet we keep meeting at all the nerd happenings. So I think we were meant to be friends. And then we didn't take pictures this year together. Oops.
I think we may. Hey, Angela, say hello to my mom. My mom loves it when you're on the show. Her name's Yay! Mary.
Hi, Mary, you said?
Mary.
I knew that. Perfect. Hi, Mary. It's so good to you. Well, I don't see you, but it's good to know you are out there, and I'm happy to be with you in this virtual space.
Cool, cool, cool. All right, Brian, first time ever cracking the doors of a comic book convention. We do have crude language for that, but we'll try to keep it clean right here. Let us know. What did you think?
You know, I was amazed by all the effort people put in their costumes.
Wait.
Cosplays. Which
there is a difference.
I don't know what that word means.
Brian, you made what you wore. You put it together. You cut out and you made it. Cosplay is more people becoming a character, making and working and or even like commissioning something special to be made. A costume is just something you buy and you put on. I frequently wear. I have costumes hanging over here right now.
I make costumes for Halloween all the time.
Yeah, that's cosplay. You're more and you become the character, you know?
Well, that's an actor.
Yep, that's the actor in you. All right, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but yes, I did.
We wanted to. So all the work put into the cosplays.
There you go.
Yay, good, Brian.
I was very impressive. Yeah, that's a word I'm not used to. Maybe I'll get used to it. But yeah, I saw another multiple man at the beginning. He had like a creepy floating head attached to his shoulder.
Oh, I had a picture of him. I was going to show.
Yeah,
him.
It was cool. Like his costume was cool, but little uncanny valley. You know, like dolls just freaked me out. So
it was super.
Apparently he had two, but he lost the one since Friday. Anyway. Yeah, I enjoyed the merch room, all the comics. You know, I got four comics here.
We're gonna talk about this in just a second. Yeah.
Yep. And you know, I learned quickly that you got to shop around. You can't just buy at the first one because I could have saved $5 at the at the store right next door. Yeah, and then. The panels were really cool. Me and a friend named Greg, we went to the two X-Men 97 panels. One was Saturday night, and then one was Sunday evening.
And we're going to talk about those in just a second because you're an X-Men fan. Let's just put it
encyclopedia.
That way. You're an encyclopedia. Okay, wait. I got to get a book real quick and show you this. So, can you hear me? So I've got this book. Oh my gosh, this is the official X-Men encyclopedia. Brian came over one day, and this is when I discovered I need to invite him to go to WonderCon. He came over and we were hanging out, and he went through page by page, and he knew everything about everything in this encyclopedia. And I was like, okay, WonderCon, and he had never been to one of these conventions. And here's, I got the program book right here. And I just, Brian, I'm so glad you went. So What's that?
I said, thanks for inviting me.
All right. So what I'm going to do is, Angela, we're going to go through some pictures and show them. I do have a couple of LobbyCon pictures. But if you guys can be thinking about what was the best thing for you this weekend, and then maybe a little bit later we're going to talk about, you know, something that could be improved. Because I have, you know, I always have ideas there. But what I'm going to do is we're going to start. I've got a couple of photos. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to go and tell you what the best thing was for me this weekend. So here's a picture of me on this panel. It's called Success in Creativity. It used to be called How to Have a Full-Time Creative Career on a Part-Time Schedule. It's not the best picture. Yeah, it's a decent picture. I don't look completely fat there. just partly fat. No, but for me, one of the best parts about this weekend was this panel. They split it into two parts, and they had a networking part of the panel, and then they had a Q&A part of the panel. And I got to tell you, the networking that we did for 45 minutes straight, all the people that I was able to meet, exchange business cards with, and get to know, like, I got to sit down with these two ladies. They're starting a really cool podcast that I really hope it takes off. Plus, I was able to meet this young lady and her mom. This young lady, she is an aspiring screenwriter. And I'm a screenwriter myself, and I'm Brian as well. So we were able to sit and really talk through the ins and outs. She's in the 10th grade, and that's the best time to start deciding when you want to be a screenwriter, because the younger you start, the sooner you get into Hollywood, the better it is for you. I started a little bit late, so it's been a little bit more difficult for me to get in, but I just thought it was fantastic. So for me, the best part was this networking panel we did, meeting all these people, exchanging business cards, and then on Sunday was when we had the panel. On Friday, we had the marketing part of it, and then on Friday was the mixer that we had, then Sunday was the Q&A panel portion of it, and I love these folks. They're always good. Topher Davila. I never know how to say his last name. Topher Davila always puts his panel together. I'll be having lunch with him in a couple of weeks, and it's always a good time. So that, for me, was perhaps my high point of the weekend. Brian. Oh, no, let's go to Angela first. I want to know what Angela thinks.
I think my favorite part, it really is just the surprise of running into fellow nerd-themed enthusiasts on the floor. It's like, you'll run into people. Some people you've met, you only see once a year or twice a year if they're at SDCC in July. Yep. And then some people, like, you know, I see you throughout the year. I know Brian through your friend groups now. I didn't realize, Brian, by the way, that you weren't part of the nerd group.
Trying to get them in.
Yes, it's a Venn diagram. We're all in it together now.
I'd love to see the diagram sometime.
I will show you the diagram. But that really truly is my favorite part. And just seeing the creativity of the cosplayers, I saw the cutest, even babies. Parents are dressing up their babies. And I don't know. Sometimes it's too much, like too much cuteness overload. And I think this year with the panels, I think it's the same thing every year, but there's just so much overlap of different panels. So it's sometimes hard. I feel like I'm missing out if I want to go to two or three different panels that happen at the same time slot. I think that's just the nature of what conventions are like. There's just so much good programming, and then you say you're going to go to all of them, and then really you just make it to one a day. And I am sad that I missed your panel because I think the least favorite part is nothing that anyone could control, and that it happened over Easter weekend because Easter came early this year. So I did have to dip out on Sunday to make Easter plans back in LA. But, you know, it's always worth it. Even for those of you who aren't joining the whole full weekend, it's worth it to do a day trip to Anaheim, in my opinion.
Yep.
And I also brought somebody whose first time it was at WonderCon. So I think seeing that person experience it with new eyes and like fresh eyes, fresh ears is probably how Brian felt. And I love that. I love witnessing it.
So. It's kind of having a kid at Christmas, you know, or kind of like the first time somebody goes to Disneyland. It's kind of cool to experience it new. Brian, what was the best part for you?
I think maybe just walking in and excuse me, seeing that merch room, and they had a big Marvel conglomerate, you know, of just of these different, you know, they took that giant group photo. I can pull it up on my phone.
I got it. Wait,
you got it. Yep. But the showdown of all the different, well, I mean, there, I have a photo of them, you know, two groups facing each other, but.
Oh, this so is this like, is because you know, Ryan, you showed up. Right,
I love that.
Yeah. You showed up right when, I'm gonna get a little bit closer. There they are. There's the two Deadpools, right? Wow. Yeah. You showed up right when this photo was being taken, right? Uh-huh. That's cool. I loved, oh, there's Cheeseman's in there.
Wait, where is he? Zoom in.
Like, where's Waldo? Where is he?
Wait, but he's in this one.
But you're right. It, you know that these half these most of these people are strangers to one another. But what brings them together is this, right? Is this event? Is the fact that they are cosplaying as their favorite characters? That's wild to me. Everyone is just becomes friends and family at this one event.
So let me ask you, how much? One of the big factors that kind of people were thinking was going to douse everything was it rained all weekend. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, it really did. It was a rainy weekend. What do you guys feel about what became of the con because of the rain?
It was my first con, so it didn't really affect me that much. I mean, people still cosplayed.
Is there a dog growling at you, Angela? That's awesome.
he's like, get off this video. Give me dinner.
Like, what, Brian?
Yeah, the rain didn't affect it too much for me.
Nice,
the first one.
I did go in, and I was like, "Oh, is there a?" I think I asked if there was a like umbrella check, and no one knew, so I just it was fine. It was fine.
A lot of people, I don't know if you saw online, a lot of people were hashtagging RainCon, which is fine. But you know what? Here's a cool thing, and I think I got the picture. You notice that the here's the front of the convention center right here. This is before the rain, sir. But when the rain, and you know, you can kind of see down there where all the people are gathered in front of the fountain, and the down under the palm trees is where all the food trucks were. But once the rain started, everybody came inside. Usually all the big photo shoots are out there in front of the fountain. But this year, just they came inside. They were in the far side in Hall A. They brought all the big the meetups, the cosplay meetups inside, which was fine. I'm going to show you another cool thing. And Cheeseman, I'm going to text him. He needs to get on here and join us because check
this out. That's great.
So I'm going to text. He's okay. I'm going to say join.
I love this.
Yeah.
Look at Cheeseman. he's enjoying himself.
So for those of you who are just listening, we're looking at a group cosplay of Guardians of the Galaxy, including they have Adam there. They are not Adam, Warlock. Wait, am Adam I being right? Adam Warlock. We got a couple of Star-Lords. This is kind of cool. Mantis back there. I just think that's such a great shot. Yeah. I'm going to go through a couple photos here. Wait. Here's another one. I got to cheese me. Get on. So, Brian, tell me what's going on here, my friend, in this photo.
That was right after the first X-Men 97 panel on Saturday.
Yeah.
That was really cool because they had, you know, one of the original voice actors from the original show. They had a lot of the new ones on.
Yeah.
And this was me just, you know, these people were really cool. We had Storm, we had Dazzler, we had Cyclops, and I unfortunately didn't bring my Wolverine claws, but I just, you know, I brought them out somehow. My own.
Yeah, you did. Look, I see it. I'm envisioning.
Brian, do you have Wolverine claws?
I do not.
Okay. I was gonna say, look, you are one of us.
I think you're gonna have to purchase.
I had them when I was a kid. We had a pair, you know, and you could slide the claws out. No, those were cool.
All right, explain this picture right here. Who are you posing next to?
That was Sunday. That was with Wirt from the Cartoon Network show Over the Garden Wall. He's voiced by Elijah Wood on the show. He's a bit of a worrywart, which I think explains the name. And it's a great show. I watch it every fall. It's a 10-episode series. Each episode's 10 minutes. You know, it's like the length of a movie. You can watch it in one sitting. It's great.
Well, Brian, in just a second, in just a few minutes, I want to hear about these two X-Men panels. Because in my opinion, I went to one of them, the one on the fandom panel on, was it Friday or it was Saturday night, and it was packed. People couldn't get into that panel. And then again on Sunday, Same thing. People couldn't get into these panels. I think they were probably they were more packed than any panels. It was X-Men 97, but we'll talk about that in just a second. I think Cheeseman is he got up off the couch. He's about to join us, and he's gonna give us just a couple
ready?
This time. Cheeseman, are you here? Cheeseman calling Cheeseman.
There he is.
Hello. Hey. How's everybody doing?
Hello.
You're good. So, Luke, I'm going to go I'm going to ask you a couple questions real quick. And I know you don't have a lot of time with this, but then I want to go through a couple of these pictures that you're in so you can kind of take us through what was going on. Luke, what was the best part about this WonderCon for you? Or what was your overall opinion of WonderCon this year?
It seemed a lot smaller, not a lot of studio presence as a filmmaker. You know, like I miss the arena and those kind of panels with like The Walking Dead and some of those other stuff. I really love the Boy Kills World panel. I feel like that was a very good, that felt like something at Comic-Con that you'd see in like a Hall H, but it was like in a smaller room and just entertaining. They showed good clips. They had good guests and all that. I really enjoyed the McFarlane Toys panel. They did a lot of reveals. I collect a lot of Batman 66 stuff. Unfortunately, they didn't talk about that. I got in line because I wanted to ask about it, but they only had time for like two questions, but they gave us all toys just for standing in line to ask a question, which was cool. But a lot of stuff coming from them. They're even doing some like Rocky figures of Rocky and Apollo. Lots of Batman stuff coming. They're doing vehicles, which is new, all sorts of new things. And Todd McFarlane, he was a very interesting like panelist and entertaining and stuff. I was really surprised how much I enjoyed that panel. And then of course, always roaming the floor is one of the best things. You always find kind of some things to take home, which is what I did. At first I was like, oh, I didn't get anything and I may not get much of anything this year. And then I end up spending a bunch of money on some.
Now, stupid question. Is Boy Kills World related to the 90s sitcom Boy Meets World at all? That's just what I think of.
I don't think so, but I think it's more of just a fun play on words, and it just sounded cool, you know. Kind of, yeah.
Can you explain what that is? Is it a movie? Is it a show? What is it?
It's a movie. It's a very almost.
Wait, like, let's talk about it for a second. Let's talk. One of the biggest panels of the weekend. I got a couple here. This is our friend Jamie. He was part of the activation for the Boy Kills World panel. Wait, I don't know. We didn't get his permission to show him and say that he was doing this, but it looked great. Let me see. I think I have another picture. Nope, I do not. What's odd is Brian's actually here at my place right now. He's downstairs. I'm upstairs. And on the desktop that he's borrowing, I put a lot of videos I was going to share, but they're now downstairs on that desktop. I might have to run downstairs.
You want me to share them?
I don't know if you know where they're at. Or what
Don't start rifling through his drawers.
Okay, I tell you what, Brian.
I got a nice hat.
So, Luke, what we'll do is, Luke, I'm going to let you. Do you see the pictures over on the side?
I'm not logged in to do any of that stuff.
All right, cool. Well, I will do it. I need to run downstairs and activate
it. What time you? Go ahead, run.
What'd you say, Luke?
I didn't say anything.
Brian, what I'm going to need you to do is hit the present button. Do you see it at the bottom of your screen?
Yes.
Hit it.
Okay.
And it takes you right into a place where you'll see something that says Alan Tudyk, right?
Nope.
There's a video.
Ooh, I'm excited when you
say what. While you guys talk, I'm going to walk downstairs. But here's the deal, Luke. Here's what I want you to kind of go through right here. I have it right. Oh, I had it right here. I had it right here. Sorry. Guys, for those of you who are listening, this is terrible. All right, here we go. Luke. What?
Ooh, cool. That's a good one.
Nice. That's an Aquaman cosplayer that was at the LobbyCon. Very good cosplay. He does this professionally, and I think he like makes all the outfits, does all that, and does a lot of kind of special I think because someone was really talking him up that was there. That's a friend of his, and he has a whole website and things of all the stuff he's doing. You might even maybe he's part of the film industry. I can't quite remember, but I have his Instagram somewhere.
If anyone watching knows who this person is, definitely let us know.
Yep.
I did see that cosplayer in the lobby, the Hilton lobby at LobbyCon. So
okay.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah. So, and then Luke, we already kind of shared a little bit about the Marvel meetup. Can you talk? And then this is Matt. He's a friend of ours. Luke, he's a friend of ours. He's a friend of ours from a brewery here in town that we hang out with our friend Christine on often. And then Brian had mentioned our friend Greg. This is our friend Greg. This is all four of us hanging in front of the Anaheim Convention Center. And here's one thing I did want to bring up. The floor, and Angel and Luke, you had just mentioned that the floor did seem a little bit kind of not quite as expansive this year, or the panels and the Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is SG Blaze's booth, right? That's author, right? That's author of the last Luminian.
Yeah, you're correct. It's the last Luminian. You got the name right. Our friend Bernie, if you guys are watching the video, he's on the right-hand side in the red jacket. His company that he's associated with, XLE Productions, they helped put together this very cool activation on the floor. And what's cool is, for those of you who may not know Bernie here, his company, XLE Productions, they're the ones who do the big nightlife parties in San Diego. Like last year, they did three of them. They did, do you remember what the theme, like one night was 90s night. One night was
Barbie.
Well, the Barbie was the
Barbie dream. Part was down with the 90s stuff.
They did a great job with that activation, and I did see that I think at LA Comic Con in December.
Yep.
And it was really well done, but it was smaller. The one at WonderCon this past weekend was quite the build, and they just do such a great job with marketing and giving out some material and ebooks to download. And
I love this, the way they did that. Yeah, the activation on the floor. Like it's not just an activation outside the convention center, it's an activation on the floor, which was awesome. Talking with Bernie, they're going to be doing more of these in San Diego on the floor activations. And for those of you who are wondering, yes, the parties are coming back to San Diego. So he's got those going. So anyways, Luke, if you and Angela and Brian, I'm going to go downstairs and show Brian, because we do have a couple of videos I would love to share. Let's see if we have any comments that we can. Oh, Andy said his other favorite panel on Friday night was the start. Oh, wow.
I didn't know there was a
sing-along panel.
Star Trek sing-along.
What's a Star Trek sing-along?
I got it right here. It was the Star Trek Strange New Worlds sing-along. It was right at, wow.
What did they sing, Andy? What kinds of songs did they sing? I'm interested.
I love that. And even though it seemed like there wasn't a giant studio presence, on Saturday we did have Adult Swim Smiling Friends. We had Stardust Ghosts. We had Star Trek Discovery, the final season premiere screening, Resident Alien, the cast. We had Chucky season 3, the cast from the show, the Strangers movie. They were all there. There were a lot. I think what it is we didn't have the arena. The arena, when we had the giant events in the arena, which filled it up. For example, when Scott Derrickson, he brought his really scary movie of that year that was in there.
Is that the Black Phone?
No, he didn't bring, I don't think Black Phone, but like Luke's cousin Maggie, she was part of the Walking Dead. Which part of it?
You're the Walking Dead, right?
You're the Walking Dead. And it was always funny because he would surprise her by asking her a question during the Walking Dead panel. So I do kind of miss that. Oh, wait. Andy says, Angela. It was from the musical episode of Star Trek Strange. Oh, that's right. They had a musical episode. They played the whole episode and had the words on the screen for us to sing along. Kind of like the Buffy sing-along. That's kind of cool.
That's my jam. I do the Buffy sing-along at these cons, which is so great. I'm glad you did that, Andy. That sounds like great fun. I hope you sang out loud.
So, Luke, I know we can't keep you a long time. I'm just going to tell you the videos that I'm going to go downstairs and we're going to share. We do have a video, Luke, that you took up inside the Resident Alien panel about, they were talking about Alan Tudyk and how Alan Tudyk auditioned and got the job. We have a video from, I think, the Boy Kills World panel. And there's one more, I think it was, I don't know what it's from. It might be the Todd McFarlane panel. But anyways, the three little short videos. I'm going to go downstairs. I'm going to show Brian how to make him start. And then, but while I'm walking, I would love, Luke or Angela could lead the podcast. But I do want to find out, I want Brian to tell us about those two big panels, the X-Men 97 panels, because they were perhaps two of the biggest panels of the weekend, guys. So I'll be right back, okay?
So the Expo 97 panel, the Saturday night was very packed. We had the voice actors who we had Rogue, the original voice actor from the original series, Lenore Zahn. She was there. She was great. We had Magneto, Gambit, Jubilee, Sunspot, Bishop. We had one of the showrunners of the show, I think, was on there. But it was very cool. They all, you know, answered fan questions and kind of talked about their experience with auditioning for the show. That was very interesting to me. Apparently they don't, when these voice actors see the audition, it doesn't say X-Men, it will say something completely different. And then as they read it, they'll kind of think, oh, maybe this is X-Men. And then, they were all fans. So that was really cool.
When I auditioned for Marvel and Walking Dead, a lot of the time the sides or, you know, what you audition with the material is either just fabricated because they don't want to give away too much. And sometimes you have to sign an NDA and sometimes the character names are changed. So you kind of have to leave it to your imagination. If you're a fan of the show or the movie, the franchise, you kind of know where they're going with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, Brian, I know we got to, this is Jim again. I'm down here now. So Luke needs to jump. But hey, Luke, do you want to show us the things that you picked up at WonderCon, and then we will bid you adieu, and I'm going to show a video that you took.
Awesome. Well, this, we were mentioning Boy Kills World. I got the little bag for that, and this was the hat that came with it. So they did a lot of good handouts and some posters. Some of those posters are downstairs as well, Jim, if you want to grab those or show at some point. But some of the other things I picked up these nice sticker of this. This was only $2, and they did this whole style of different characters and stuff in this running position, but this was only $2. This is the T-1000 running from Terminator 2. I thought that was pretty cool, so I may stick that on a monitor or something like that. I've never bought a WonderCon shirt before, and I saw this online and actually bought it before the convention. And then when I tried it on, the size didn't fit, but I was able to go switch it in person. So that was nice of them, because they normally, online, they sounded like they didn't do trades. But when you go talk to them in person, sometimes you could swap sizes if it doesn't work out. But I think they had a good WonderCon size here this year. And our friend David Buer, his comic as well. There's a picture of the shirt right there. And then our friend David Buer had one of his comics and signed it for me. To Luke, whatever you wish you see. David Buer signed it for me. He said it's kind of a Stranger Things type comic that he did. Jim got the same one, so I'm going to be checking this out. But he's like, you like Stranger Things? You like the 80s? This has this kind of tone and feel, so... it's a graphic novel as well. And then this is what I actually spent more of my money on randomly. I didn't think I was going to spend all this money, but got this really cool Batman poster from Batman 66.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
This is, you know, one of those like ink type prints and stuff. So it's a higher end print, not just a nice copy. And they are usually a limited series. This is 250 and all that. So really love my Adam West Batman. And then my favorite thing I got actually is another poster, and I think I do have frames actually arriving for these today, so I don't get them all bent up, but they have this really cool Terminator one that's a 12x36.
Oh, dude.
I've never seen that. That's pretty special.
That is.
Yeah, and this is kind of like a nice high-quality ink print as well. But I bought a lot of posters from this particular company. I can't remember exactly what their name was, but all these things are usually limited series.
And how'd you get a frame for that? What size is that that you got a frame for?
12x36, so 1 foot by 3 feet.
Okay.
Is that a standard size frame? You might have to have it custom.
Custom, but the good thing with Amazon these days, they do commonly carry a lot of that stuff. So I got both frames for 50 some bucks. So it wasn't, you know, the outrageous, oh, it costs $100 a thing to frame each of those. Yeah. So getting them both framed for around $55 a day.
Now you can see more wall space because every convention you get more and more art, right? That's the case for all of us.
I may be tapped out, but you never know.
There's always a ceiling.
So, Luke, I know you have to jump, but real quick, because you were there. Angela, I think you were there as well. Can we talk before you jump, Luke, about LobbyCon?
There I am. Yeah, I was there, actually.
It was a blur, obviously. Just kidding.
Andy, there's Andy in the middle of us at LobbyCon. That's cool. But when I say LobbyCon, what am I talking about?
Yeah, actually, you know what? Please define that for everybody who isn't familiar, because I had to explain that to people.
Well, every night after the convention ends, most of the industry folks, people that are either in the comic book film or acting or writing, they head over to the lobby of the Hilton, which is connect right on the side of the convention center, or they go over to the Marriott. Mainly they go to the Hilton, and I can tell you this year, it was probably bigger than I remember from years past. It was just overflowing. I mean, what do you guys think?
Well, I think it's because of the rain, but so many people there.
I was surprised because I know it's always busy, but when I entered the lobby, I was like, no, like everyone is here.
Yep.
It was great. It was good vibe.
The bar was 2 or 3 people deep sometimes.
Yep. It's a great place to network and to meet folks on Friday night, and they might have had it Saturday night. They had the 10 Forward Lounge upstairs right above the lobby where you can get free snacks, all the sodas you could drink. It was 10 Forward, of course, being the lounge from Star Trek The Next Generation. But LobbyCon was awesome this year. Brian, I think you're right. I think the rain kind of kept everybody inside because a lot of times people are still taking pictures out there outside. But
I want to touch on something you showed a picture of earlier with just everyone outside and how usually they take the photos. I think it was really great of WonderCon. I think they posted on their Instagram the day before the convention started that because they were anticipating the rain, they were going to carve out some indoor space for all the cosplayers to meet at. And you touched upon that. But what I did miss was part of what makes my heart so happy is at the end of the convention, when the convention floor closes at 7 o'clock, like on a Saturday, usually there's like a big dance party of the most random cosplayers mushed together in a circle, clapping. There'll be, you know, like some Shrek will be breakdancing. It'll just be the most random thing. And that usually is one of my highlights of after a long day. And I didn't see that this year. Did you?
No. The rain kind of... What's that, Brian?
I saw Princess Fiona. Not Shrek.
Well, but you're right, Angela. It's usually right there outside the doors before you. It erupts into a giant 400 to 500 person dance party.
Yeah.
And I think the dance party moved into LobbyCon this year. So, hey, Luke, is there anything else you want to share before we let you jump off? And then we probably have maybe like, 10 minutes left and we're going to jump off.
I'll just say I feel like the con was maybe a little smaller on the film presence stuff, partly because of all the strikes going on. So the content was maybe a little less. I know some studios are probably refiguring some of how they're kind of doing stuff. Not that Marvel makes a presence there, but I know Marvel's definitely rethinking some stuff of how they're doing.
Funko Pop didn't show up, and that was a big hit to the floor.
So, but I mean, the people were still there that you usually like hang out with and see, and it felt like it was back in a big way socially, I would say. And like we were mentioning, the LobbyCon, it seemed very populated, a lot of people there, a lot of familiar faces, and. Yep. The food trucks were, you know, all there, but with the rain, that definitely made it tricky and everything. But overall, I mean, it's still a lot of the same kind of panels besides the big film ones, but I'm sure next year they'll come back even bigger. Once I feel like Comic-Con is going to be really big this year, and then that'll kind of go into the following WonderCon and
I think you're right. I think because of the strikes, and I know Angela was there was at one point she was kind of leading one of the like the dance portions of the strike.
It's a flash mob. Yes, that was cool. Good time. Yeah, we got to support each other on the pickets.
That's right. But I think you're right. I think some of the production, I think the pipeline for films and TV slowed down a bit, so we don't have as much content right now. That's what people are saying. That's why if you go to your I've got the AMC app. And half the movies on there are sometimes throwback films. But Luke, we are going to let you go. But here's what we're going to show the videos. We're going to show a clip from, in just a second when you go, we're going to show inside the Resident Alien panel where they talk about Alan Tudyk. And we're Also going to show, what's the other name of the other clip, Brian? I forget what it was
called. The walkthrough?
Oh, the walkthrough. I was walking through. I just to give everybody an idea of what the floor looked like. So let's do that one first, and then we'll show the panel. All right, Luke, thank you for joining us. Brian, if you want to do the walkthrough, that'd be cool.
Yep. Right.
All right, for those of you, and we will, hopefully it works. Is it working?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. If I, okay, I can come back. Oh, wait. There we go. So, for those of you who are just listening, we're just basically giving you a little bit I don't think we need to hear all the commotion. And Brian and Angela, you were there as well. But Brian, you, when you first got there, we couldn't tear you away from the comic book booth. There was, no, it was cool. Like, the one thing I did notice is there this year, maybe it's because there was less studio presence, less TV presence, less something. But it seemed like we had tons of comic book retailers there. What about you, Brian? What did you think about the comic book retailers?
You know, there were probably 8 to 10 different retailers. And they all had a different focus. You know, it seemed like some of them, a lot of them were very vintage, you know, collector's items. I don't need collector's items, you know. I just want to collect some ones I've never read because, you know, I just prefer books to screens, just reading, you know, an actual book. So, you know, so I got these four. I got early 90s Chris Claremont X-Men. It's right when Gambit appeared on the scene. He was kind of like the new, there we go, new Wolverine, Jim Lee. Hope you guys know Jim Lee. He drew for DC too. Here's another Jim Lee cover. This is a wraparound. This, see, I love this stuff. I mean, just look at this. This is
all that
out into three covers. That's cool. So this was Uncanny X-Men 275 from 1991, I believe. And then I got from 1985, I got Nightcrawler, X-Men. And I got the 1985 Nightcrawler first issue of his miniseries. So
I think, Brian, I think you did well for your first time at a comic convention. I think you're moving around like a pro. Stick with us. We'll show you the way. But I'm not worried about you. I think you're ready for SDCC in July. What do you think, Jim?
I think you would be great down there.
I would love to go to Comic-Con.
But you got it, Angela. We know, like, as much as we WonderCon, we call it the little sister. This year, it was a lot more doable for first-timers. Mm-hmm. But San Diego is it's a beast. It's the white whale of Comic-Cons. It is huge. It's just... But I think Brian would love it. So, you know, and it's because people who think, you know what, I'm not nerdy enough. I'm not geeky enough. Geeks are the top of the pop culture pantheon right now. We're up there, you know, and it's not geeky. It's just nerd culture is culture now. It's like cool people. But, you know, Cheeseman was played football all through high school, you know, and he's loving these comic conventions now. So I just think that's those are good.
Yeah, Jim, it's about like, basically we are, it's an inclusive community. And when people cosplay, you know, there's a code of conduct. People are respectful, anti-harassment. It's a family event. And even though you might see some skimpy outfits, all this stuff, but it doesn't matter. We're kind of, everyone just feels respectful and heard. And it's that kind of culture that I think that really excites me. And maybe that's part of the dance party too. When everyone comes together, everyone is just, you know, it really makes me happy and to be there with you all. Yeah. Really, truly.
I had a blast. And we have one last video we're going to show. This is from inside the Resident Alien panel, which was very cool. And this is the director talking about how Alan Tudyk had to audition for the part. It blows me away. He had audition for this. But let's watch.
Convinced you after 100 plus people.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I thought I knew what this character was when I wrote it, and I did not know what it was until he came in. The night before his audition, and we had seen, like you said, over 100 people at this point. David Dopkin, who directed the pilot, and myself got on a Skype with him to talk to him about the role and get him prepared for the audition the next day. And even then, when we hung up that night, we looked at each other and said, I think this is the guy. And then the next day he came in and was he just did it differently than everybody else. He did it the way you're seeing it. But no one had done it that way, and they were great actors, but his take on it was, A, incredibly funny. And there was so much humanity in underneath what everything that he was doing, that he was funny, but he was real, and he felt like he didn't belong in the body that he was in. And at first I thought, like, well, maybe this is just Alan Tudyk,
which is true.
Which is true. But then you get to know him and you just realize, oh no, he's just an unbelievable actor. Like, yeah. We were talking about it earlier, how even before a scene, before we shoot, like, he's Alan and you're talking to him and they start rolling camera and then he just becomes someone else and you're looking at him and you can see him change into a different person without doing anything. And I think, and not even moving and doing crazy stuff, like literally sitting still, he suddenly looks like a different person just because of his energy. It's really unbelievable to watch. He's fantastic. And the show, you know, wouldn't be what it is without him part of it.
And you had already cast the rest of the ensemble.
He was the last one.
So that, this character, this guy had to fit in with who you already had in place.
Did he?
True. Well, he had to at least match their energy.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We had the advantage. Well, first of all, he was the last person. Everyone had been cast. Sarah was the first person.
That's right.
Alan was the last person.
There we go.
Thank you. Alan, I see you.
We were shooting in 2 weeks. The advantage of it was we had everyone else, and Alan actually didn't have to fit in with everyone else. He had to be specifically who he was for this. But we had the advantage that he was someone coming in from outside. So he could, you know, inhabit whatever world he's going to inhabit. And it would still work because he's supposed to be an outsider.
Right. But off camera, he had to get, like, you needed somebody who could play with these people.
Ideally. I mean, the truth is, in all these shows, that we have something on this show that I don't know any other show that really has, which is a group of actors who not only get along and work well together, but are really, really great friends outside. And so you hear all these horror stories about actors coming in and they don't get along. There's always someone who's an asshole. And so you don't know, hey, who's it going to be? Which one? Which one is it? You know?
And there are Judah. Now, you know what I mean?
It's Max.
I hate that kid.
Yeah. Judah's a good man. And by the time we start shooting again, he'll be about 6'9".
He's like 25 now.
I talked to him on the phone.
They're talking, of course, that show is Resident Alien. It is on the Sci-Fi Network. It is going into season 3. I think they're talking about season 3. And it's a fantastic show. I love Alan Tudyk. Anything Alan Tudyk has done, I absolutely love. So we are going to wrap up here, guys.
Jim, I do have a 30-second clip from the X-Men 97 panel.
Do you really?
You do.
Where'd you get it from?
I took it.
It. He's a pro. He's a pro now.
How are we going to show it?
I could either hold up my phone or I could, you know, send it to this computer. And.
Can you
follow
get it?
Follow-up episode?
Can you put it on the computer? Tell you what, let's do this. If you can get it onto your computer within the next 2 minutes, we will show it. But great. I mean, you do that while we ask Angela. Angela, if you could give us an idea, we're going to sum up, right? Sum up kind of like what could WonderCon do perhaps better for next year?
Oh goodness! This is a rough one because every time I go there, I have rose-colored glasses on because I'm just so excited to be there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know. A lot of it I feel like is out of their control because of just the nature of the industry and where we're at with, you know, content.
Well, you said one earlier, like don't have it on Easter weekend.
Yeah, and I wonder how far out. Like, for instance, now do they know the 2025 dates? Do you think?
Yeah, well, for next year, it is again the last weekend of March, but it is not Easter weekend next year. So that's awesome.
Yeah. So I think, you know, if we could just move all the Catholic holiday. No, just joking. No, I think they did a great job. And always, yeah, no, I know. And I think I think that they do a great job every year, and they just have to, you know, just like with everything else, we're all pivoting and trying to make, they do the as best they can, and I actually enjoy their efforts. So,
me too.
Yeah.
I do too. If I were to give some suggestions, I would say next time plan on a weekend that's not going to rain. I'm just kidding. I don't think the rain really doused very many spirits. I think people still had a good time. Hopefully, we have some friends that some vendors. It seemed like it was a little bit lighter this year, but yeah. The layout of some of the, there's like three big sections of the convention. When you go back to like the independent, the indie seller section, some of the table, it just seemed hard to maneuver. Like you'd have somebody facing this direction, somebody facing this direction. Some of it was a little bit hard. Some of the just placement of the tables, and I know they have a reason for it. From what I understand, I was listening to the unofficial blog, and it seemed like there was some uneven enforcement of some fire marshal standards. Mm-hmm. Like they weren't supposed to go above, like, I'm going to do this. There's an arm there. There's an arm. It was
it's multiple man's arm.
Another one. But I kind of agree with you that there's not a lot about that that can control. Remember, for many years, Comic-Con and WonderCon had carpeting on the floors. Since the pandemic started, it's, you know, we got back, it's all cement. For those of us that have old man knees like I do, that makes it where I'm not able to walk as much on the floor. I got to go take my breaks, which is fine with me. But anyways, but besides that, I hope they can pull back some of the, I know that when it comes to the marketing budgets of the studios, spring is the time when the marketing budgets are biggest as far as like getting ready for the summer films. So it seems like we should have some more summer films in the pocket here. Once you hit San Diego Comic-Con, most of the big summer releases have released. So I don't know.
Year's different in general. Maybe we give this year a break, and like next year, maybe we'll be back to normal. Who knows? It's just been wonky this past year and the last year. So
I still think we're catching up from the pandemic. I mean, they were shut down for two years or three years without conventions, where they still produced an online event, but they weren't making any money. And so like they were just having to burn through the reserves. And so I feel them that they really, really probably were just doing everything they could just to stay afloat. So Brian, were you able to get your video on there?
Yeah. Hey Luke, can you,
well, okay.
I got it right here.
Cool. Cool. So, Angela, I just want to say I'm so glad you joined us today. This is awesome. It's always a pleasure to have Angela on. And we wanted to make sure we did it this week so that we didn't have to wait a couple of weeks before we talk about WonderCon, because we're going to move into it's Comic-Con schedule now. We're moving into Comic. For those of you watching the show, apparently the hotel sale, Hotelpocalypse, is going to happen within the next 3 weeks. Here in April. So get ready to try to get your hotel for Comic-Con. This is the single most, besides getting your badge.
I think the other hotels have been released, right? Like the ones not right in the downtown area, right?
The early birds. There's a number of the early bird hotels. You can still get some rooms there.
I'm not going to lie. I love staying at the hotel in the outskirts because I have pets and it's a little less crazy. And
good for you. You know what? Yeah. And the thing is that the shuttles go out there, so there's no reason not to.
Easy. But you just take the train. The train's also really fast.
Oh, I know. I love it. We stayed in the bed with Half Moon Bay last year. They upgraded us to this room on the ocean, on the bay, with all these boats right there outside our room. It was the most beautiful spot. But so we got a comment here. Yeah. Let's see. Andy, it was great seeing you. Brian's going to share a video. Tell us what the video is, Brian.
So this is from the Expo 97 con. This is just some of the actors talking. I think this is Lenore Zahn. She was the original voice of Rogue from the 90s cartoon. Really interesting. She went into Canadian politics and got out of voice acting and then had to re-audition for Rogue because Disney reached out to her. And so I think this is a clip of her talking, just 30 seconds.
Cool. Let's see it.
And she had her hand on her hip, and she was saucy. And I had been told they were looking for somebody who had a deep, husky, sexy voice who could do a southern accent. And so I went into the booth, and I opened up my mouth, and I kill himself when he found out I was a mutant.
Okay, wait, there we go.
So that was her explaining her original audition back in the early 90s for the original show.
You know how we were able to get Brian to come to the convention this year? Now, and I don't think it'll be hard to get him to go. We told him there are two X-Men 97 panels, and he goes, I'm there. Brian, why is X-Men 97 special to you?
X-Men 97 is, it's basically a continuation of my childhood. I grew up with that show, X-Men the Animated Series, and every Saturday morning I was up with my brother, you know, 7:30 in the morning, and we had our cereal, and we would always be just glued to that screen. And then the show had, I think it ran for 5 years and ended in 97, which is, you know, the explains the title, because they're just picking up right where it left off. Now the show is, it's a little more mature, like there's swearing, there's more blood, you know, and so it's for, I think it's for the original audience of the original show. They've kind of,
what, they're swearing in the cartoon now?
Occasionally, yeah. And I'm just like, whoa, did they just say that? And it's kind of cool seeing the show, them, you know, tailor the show for an older audience like that.
Wow. So the writers and the producers followed the audience as the audience grew up. That's interesting.
Seems like it, yeah.
There you go. All right, guys, we do kind of have to wrap up here. Any closing thoughts before we jump off about WonderCon 2024?
I just want to say, for those of you who are watching this after the recording, if it's your first time or you haven't gone, I really encourage you to go grab onto your nearest nerd friend and just experience it. You might not think you're going to like it, but once you're there, you will get that feeling that you belong. And I promise you that. And then if you want to talk more nerd stuff, please find me on all socials at Angela Relucio. I'm so happy that you asked me to join you again on the Con Guy. Thank you, Jim. And Brian, it's always good to see you. Happy you made it out alive of your first con.
Thank you. Good to see you too.
And Brian, where can people find you if they are interested in what you are working on or which cons you are going to next?
They can find me at my Instagram, the Brian Beneventi, or you can go to my website, www.brianbeneventi.com. I have original idea for a TV miniseries. It's based off my love of superheroes. It's called Psycho and Psyche. It's based on, it's about mental health and sibling dynamics. A brother in a mental institution who thinks he has superpowers teams up with his sister, who's a cop, to solve a murder.
Don't give it all away.
So, anyway,
it's a book. You're publishing a book.
I did self-publish a book in January. I'm releasing another edition of it. It should be ready in the next 3 days.
You're adapting it to a film right now.
I do have half of a script based on that, and I'm an actor, so you know I want to play characters in these projects once they make it to the screen. Thanks for asking.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean for that to be so loud. Anyways, you can find me here, Jim, at the Con Guy. Hopefully you guys will come back and join us soon. I gotta find the closing. Angela, Brian, you guys are great. So glad to see you guys down at WonderCon. We'll see you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks for watching The Con Guy, the official program of theconguy.com. Find us on the Weeby Geeks Collective or anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Okay. It's good. I want to turn the light on.